I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of TDZ Shredder's Retrench.
Oh,
that is courtesy of Miguel Saavedra.
Good game. Can't wait to buy it.
Oh, was that the game? I thought that was one of the sequel movies. I was not a huge Ninja Turtle head. It just missed me.
Yeah. I was up in it. And then Ninja Turtle, like, I think it like came out the day I could understand TV. You know, and it was like, it like imprinted on me. And obviously, you know, the very delicate handling of Japanese culture in the show also made me a fan of it too.
Right. I am Jack, that is Miles, and these are some things that are trending. We want to do a little quick foreign policy check-in with Joe Biden.
Joe. I just want to play this clip.
Okay.
Of Joe Byron, just from the campaign trail in the year of our Lord 2020, talking about Saudi Arabia.
And I would make it very clear, we were not going to, in fact, sell more weapons to them. We were going to, in fact, make them pay the price and make them, in fact, the pariah that they are. There's very little social redeeming value of the in the present government in Saudi Arabia.
Cut to today or like this week being like, yes, I'm going to go to Saudi Arabia real quick, holler at him about some other stuff, when really we know it's, you know, your back's against the wall. You're trying to go there to try and seek some maybe cheaper oil. Maybe the military industrial complex said, hey, what do you mean you're going to stop selling weapons to our number one best customer? You better knock that crap off and get your ass over there. So just
touch the orb, Joe. Joe, touch, get over here and touch the orb.
Yeah.
That was the Trump Saudi trip, right? Where they were touching the orb.
I think it may have been there or Qatar, but yeah, it was definitely it was a very interesting photo, that's for sure.
Mm.
But yeah, it's just another moment where you realize like it's sure it's beneficial to say one thing on the campaign trail and use such forceful language when you're talking about like, yeah, oh right, the murder of like Jamal Khashoggi, who's like an American. Or like the war in Yemen. I don't know if he's actually uttered those words, but you know, then it comes down to, oh God, okay. If I need something, then it's easy for me to completely flip flop.
Mm-hmm. Where do you think he's falling short exactly? Remember when we talked about him falling short?
Oh yeah,
and one of
where is he falling short
like,
exactly?
Name a policy where he's falling short. Name it. Okay. Anyways, Ryan Gosling is also trending.
Ow!
Thank God. Because he is playing Ken in the upcoming Barbie movie. And
that's Greta Gerwig doing it?
Yeah, Greta Gerwig is writing, directing, I believe.
Okay.
And we have a photo of him, and he looks hot, I think. Pretty hot.
How do you get your fucking abs to look like this?
At the age of 41, he's pretty shredded.
Damn, so he's 41.
Speaking
savage.
Of Shredder, he's 41. Shredder's retrench. This man is Shredder's retrench up here.
This is my thing. I get the appeal of like Ryan Gosling. He's very handsome, but he doesn't look like a Ken doll to me. I feel like I was saying this to Becca right before we started recording, that like Army Hammer looks more like a Ken doll to me, but I get, obviously he ain't.
You've been pushing for Army Hammer to be cast in every movie that we bring
since
up.
Since he was canceled, yes, because I'm like, give him another chance.
He's changed.
He might be a cannibal, allegedly. But yeah, I feel like, but again, I also see the appeal of like, when you think of putting butts in the seats, mm-hmm. you're like, this, like these two like hyper attractive performers in Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling to bring the kids to the cinema.
I didn't think so. Ryan Gosling's hair is like dyed platinum blonde, which mm-hmm. was not something I had associated with Ken. I always thought he was like either light brown or I don't know. This feels like I'm wondering slash hoping, and I feel pretty confident that this might be that, by the way, this is Jack's speculation on movies that haven't come out yet. Mm-hmm. Corner, which is always the fans say they can't get enough when I'm like, what if they did this with this movie? That they probably won't end up doing, but I do feel like this movie is going to be somewhat subversive. This looks like
there's no way it could be just in reinforcing toxic gender norms.
Yeah. I think, rather, what if it was straight down the middle? Greta Gerwig was suddenly just like,
come on, Ken, I can't do that. I'm a girl.
Yeah.
What?
It does feel like this could be from what's the guy who made RoboCop or Starship Troopers? Like, this looks like,
not Jan de Bont.
Paul
Verhoeven.
This looks like it could be from a Verhoeven movie about like a dystopian Nazi future.
Yeah. Cause like you look, I just sent eBay listing for a 1980s Ken doll, which I feel is my first idea of what a Ken doll looked like.
Yeah.
And he looks like Sandy. A desperate, drugged out real estate agent.
Yeah. And Sandy. His hair is sandy.
Oh, yeah. That hair is sandy. And it's all, but I get it's a new era, so they're doing whatever they do.
And his outfit is, jeans slung low with Calvin Klein boxers, but instead of Klein, they say Ken, which is fun. And then a jean vest. So
can't wait for that. I'm sure the trailer I'm really interested in seeing, because I can't, you know, it's going to be funky and weird.
Yeah. I mean, that's my speculation. And if it is, you heard it here first.
Exactly. You heard it here. Semi-intelligent actors don't take roles that would set them back.
DeSantis.
It's because Elon Musk, dude. The dude fucking, he's like, yeah, I might fuck around and support Ron DeSantis.
Interesting. Right. And then, he's a Republican now, and he's like, wait till you see them try to cancel me, because he knew a story was about to hit about him offering somebody who worked for him money to have sex with him.
Just listen to this response though from Ron DeSantis upon hearing, hey, Elon Musk said he'd vote for you.
Was that Ted Cruz telling him that?
No. This is Aziz Ansari.
Elon Musk. So what I would say, I'm focused on 2022, but with Elon Musk, what I would say is, I welcome support from African Americans. What can I say?
Because he's South African.
Fucking people. Anyway, you hear how hard those laughs are? It's okay, because he's from South Africa. But yeah, I mean, I don't even know. Sure.
I mean, sure. He wrote that ahead of time too. Like that's...
Oh yeah, he wrote. Oh, you know, he loved that. And oh, again, yeah. I think it only adds to the increasing speculation about him running and Trump's fear of him running. Because right, he looked right, like right. It's like, you know, what is he telling people in private and trying to see what kind of like people he can get, you know, just some light touch asks out there to be like, what would you think if I ran against Trump? Would you ride with me?
Mm.
So we will see. But yeah, love a wait. Bit of ignorant Ooh. Fucking jokery from a governor.
It's funny because we're all racist here. So that's good, right?
That's good because, yeah, South Africa did stuff to African people, too, that we kind of have a similar. Yeah, we're kind of like kindred spirits in a way.
Mm. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk Internet Explorer. I know you've all been begging for it. Here we go. Right back.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery, but that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian Mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
And we're back. And it's time to bid adieu to Internet Explorer.
Microsoft Internet Explorer. I feel like the first browser you ever tried to look up weird stuff in a school library on. Is calling it a day because it says, as of today, Microsoft will no longer support the once dominant browser that faded. And I love this description, that faded away as users found faster, less crash prone alternatives. So yeah, windmill on their casket one last time. But yeah, damn, I can't remember last time I had Internet Explorer like on a family computer in seventh grade or some eighth grade.
Yeah, when was the last time anybody used Internet Explorer? Like, reach out, let us know. I remember being a little bit brand loyal to like Firefox for like a year after I should have stopped using Firefox. I think I was still using it, but That's about as far as I go. I wonder if anybody is still just like, it's a smoother experience.
Like, don't you have people in your family, like older family members, who just learn to do a new technology thing one way, and they don't care if there's better ways to do it, because they already were like, yeah, I know how to use the internet. I open up internet, like, what Chrome? What?
Yeah.
No, this gets me to my Lycos page that I love to visit.
Chrome doesn't say hello or goodbye to you. So it can go fuck itself.
But yeah, shout out all the Netscape Navigator fans too. You know, if you were a Netscape Navi crew, let me know.
Is that still being supported?
No. Could you, Matt? I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard. I don't even know. I'm not even sure if Netscape as a company even exists.
Yeah.
Let's see. Netscape Navigator. All right. The final release, 2008.
Damn.
Yeah.
Not in Obama's America.
No.
Say that much. Kim K is trending. People are pissed because in America, objects matter more than anything else.
Private property.
So Kim Kardashian made headlines when she wore a Marilyn Monroe dress that I've been told is iconic. I did not.
It's the one she's saying, "Happy birthday, Mr." Like, so it's that one.
Okay. I did not remember the dress from that one as much.
I know the moment more than the dress.
Yeah, I know the moment.
Yeah.
Anyways, it is she wore it to the Met Gala. The Met Gala, which most people remember as the night we found out that they were going to overturn Roe v. Wade.
Right.
But other people had their eyes on the prize, and they were like, "Yo, that dress is a piece of history. Treat it kindly." And now, and I think she kind of specifically came out on that night and was like, "We've been like so careful, and we had to do all this stuff." And
I lost now 16 somebody pounds. Came out and
was like, "It looks like shit. Like she fucked it up."
Yeah, it's particularly the handler of like the Monroe like museum, like stuff, like a person who actually cares about these articles versus like Ripley's, who like owns it. And they're like, "I hope it was worth it, Ripley's. This thing's all damaged. This is more than just a dress." And yeah, like there's like people are angry at Ripley's, at Kim K. And I'm sure anybody who's like, "Oh, wow, cool." Rich people would be like, "Give me that thing. It's ruined. Right. Here you go. I gotta go." Cool.
There's a bunch of Zendaya stories that we just don't have the deep academic background to discuss at the moment. We were digging into them, but
general pop culture knowledge.
Zendaya is not pregnant is one piece of news that is trending. So that's
good.
You can rest assured on that one.
Thank you. News at 11.
Buzz Lightyear is trending because it's coming out this weekend. This is a movie I've been very confused about since it was announced.
Uh-huh.
The reviews are subpar for Pixar.
No.
But I do finally have my explanation because I've brought it up here before. So it is a movie about the character that the toy was based on, but it takes place in the future. And does Toy Story therefore by implication take place in a post-fall world, a post-apocalyptic world mm-hmm. that has been rebuilt on top of the ashes of some Buzz Lightyear like techno anything.
Right.
Anyways, turns out they explain it right away. Revealed in an early title card, this is apparently the movie that made 6-year-old Andy fall in love with Buzz Lightyear in 1995.
Boom, easy.
This is a movie from a fictional universe that came out in 1995. Duh. Like, what else do you need to know?
Do you think they added that card at the last second? Because, like, in screen tests, they were like, "Wait, so where's Tim Allen?" You're like, "No, it's Tim Allen's the fucking toy that this fucking guy." What aren't they getting?
I can't think of like, but that still doesn't like give me any reason to want to see this.
Well, it's also weird because it's like even this film is fictionalized,
Right.
Like what you're seeing isn't even a film that exists in our reality. It's like they released a film from the reality of Toy Story, which is you're like
a fictional film within a world where toys come alive. So will we, so you can look within this movie for anything that indicates that the makers of this movie actually exist in a world where toys come alive and see really like suspect it or like have some sense of it. Because the movie is not a world in which toys come alive. It's a movie made by people who live in a world in which toys come alive, but they don't know it because they're the humans.
No, they don't know that.
They don't know that.
No, so, they don't know that.
I don't know.
What's so hard to understand, man?
I'm very interested. Like, does this seem like a movie that
I would see? No.
Does it seem like a movie anyone will want to see? I've been like, I know I have a friend who works in the film industry, and I was like, hey, like, just I don't ever ask you about this shit, but like, there's a Buzz Lightyear movie coming out.
It's,
and he was like, yeah, I think it's gonna like do great, and like lots of people will go see it. And I was like, why? And you know, I think he was just confused by my question and has stopped returning my text messages. Now has hired security to shoo me away every time I go to his front door.
Mr. Spielberg.
But I'm confused, and I am interested to see, like, maybe it'll be a hit and it'll,
I don't know. It's just like, it is opera. It's like, it's asking you to be an extra step loyal to Toy Story. Because yeah, it ain't Toy Story.
Toy Story 4 is like one of my favorite movies.
Right,
of the
you
past,
fuck with
like
Toy
5
Story.
Years.
But now they're saying, oh, you fuck with Toy Story. What about the favorite movie of this inconsequential motherfucker from Toy Story? You want to
well,
see his favorite
all, don't
movie?
Don't you dare call Andy inconsequential.
Man, fuck Andy, man. I don't give a fuck. I'm wild today.
Fuck Andy.
Fuck Andy, man. Leaving those toys behind. That's on him. I don't buy all that other shit. But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's almost like if like a book came out that was like fiction, like, and this was Luke Skywalker's favorite book. We've now printed it. Like, yeah. You got to be deep into Star Wars fan shit to be like, oh shit, I want to see that because I love everything about this world.
Right.
Whereas, like, I don't know, the proposition of this film, just even on its face, I'm like, because it's confusing. And then I'm like, all right.
And the main character, the design of the main character, he looks like a bad guy. Like, he has that, like, big ass jaw, like, and he looks like Mr. Incredible when he was like young and in shape, which was like he was a cocky asshole, was the point of that, like from the Pixar movies. Like, I don't, and like they're trying to sell it with like just this like blandly handsome,
okay,
big jawed looking motherfucker.
How are you, so tell me how you're gonna fix it.
How am I gonna fix
it? Yeah, do you
Lightyear?
See it and you're like, oh, if this was different and that thing was different, maybe I would have had a more of an open heart to this.
They apparently have a very cute robotic kitten. Like, give me the kitten.
Oh yeah, we saw that in the trailer.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, the kitten looks cool.
So you want to see a whole film about Robo? Yeah, fuck it, Robo Kitten.
I don't know. Like, I first of all, the way I'd fix it is not make this movie, because it just feels like it's just IP shit for the sake of being IP shit. It's not answering a question that anybody, like even the new Jurassic Park movie, like that is answering a question that I think
kind
has
of
been in people's minds from the beginning of watching. It's like, what if the dinosaurs got out?
That
was
and that
whole
shit's bad. So.
Right. And that shit's bad, but everybody went and saw it. The,
right.
You know, the Spider-Man that everybody went and saw was like, what if all the different Spider-Mans, you know?
Yeah. And, right. And this one's like, you want to see Andy's favorite movie? They're like, who the fuck is Andy?
What the fuck?
Sandberg? What you mean, Andy Cohen from Bravo? No,
yeah.
From Toy Story, man, from 1995. This movie was made in 1995. No, Andy from Toy Story. This shit came out in 90. Wait, so how come I didn't see it then? No, because it is just only fuck. Just forget it, man.
Mm. Yeah. So it kind of sucks. Like the special effects are bad. Legit bad because it came out in 1995, but that's on purpose. Okay.
That would be actually funnier.
Right.
If they were like, I'm sure there's probably jokes that like winks to like the older, like elder millennial and parents in the audience that are like, hey, you like that 95 reference right there?
Right. Let's
talk about the OJ trial.
Oh, I hope so. I mean, I will not see this movie. Like, even if, like, people are like, it's so good, or on, it's so bad, we, it's good. Like, I can't imagine myself seeing it.
Can we, just as a thought experiment, like, think about what pop culture things, if they were going to do a fucking hack joke in there, do you think they would, like, what do you think they would touch on? I'm just going to tell you what happened in 1995. Fucking Timothy McVeigh.
Oh, yeah, that would be funny. That would be funny. That's
Michael Jordan returns to the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Spatial Atlantis docks with the Russian Mir space station.
That was a cold. I think we all remember where we were when that happened.
The U.S. pulled out of Somalia. The Kobe earthquake in Japan. The sarin nerve gas attacks in Tokyo. I mean, I feel like there might be a, if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit type reference.
Well, I mean, I do think that Pixar has always, like, kind of been like, we take place in our own universe, you know, and like there's cross movie referential things. And, you know, you'll see a toy from one of the movies, like, appear in the background of one of the other ones. I just, I just can't imagine. I don't know. I'll probably see the shit by the end of this weekend because my kids will, you know.
Do they know about it?
No, they don't. But actually, I think during the NBA playoffs, they might have seen the kitty and, like, that got their attention. So we'll probably
see. Which is wild. They're like, wait, what'd you think about the spaceman? We're like, fuck the spaceman, man. Right. What's that kid?
Yeah. He seems mean. anyways, that's been another 15 minutes of me just complaining about a movie I haven't seen
that I'm gonna have to see this weekend. You come back, you're like, man, pretty thought-provoking though.
It's actually pretty fucking good. That's gonna do it for us today. We are back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show. Until then, be kind to each other, be kind to yourselves, get the vaccine, don't do nothing about white supremacy, and we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.